in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
I heard our friends over on Unsportsmanlike talking about this morning, briefly, but I thought it was really interesting. So I'm pivoting here for just a moment. What division in the NFL has the best group, quartet, of head coaches?
I mean, it's the AFC West now, and it's not particularly close.
That's what they were saying as well. Is there anybody who can make a case for having a better quartet of
AFC
coaches? AFC
North.
Yep. How do you figure? Are you banking
it
exclusively?
You have Cincinnati.
You don't even know his name.
It's Mike Sherman's son-in-law.
Okay.
And then you have Tomlin.
Yeah.
And then Stefanski before this year. I mean, the Browns, I mean, they imploded.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the weak link is obviously now Pete Carroll. And
yeah, but he's a Super Bowl champ. Pete Carroll, Super Bowl champ. Sean Payton, Super Bowl champ. Andy Reid, might be winning his fourth Super Bowl, has three Super Bowls.
And
so, Jim Harbaugh.
I agree with you. The AFC West, yes. But you can't discount the AFC North.
It's not even close, Chew.
Harbaugh's got one. Tomlin's got how many?
One.
One or two?
He's got one.
I mean, take Andy Reid out of there, and it's the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean.
Can you make a case for anybody in the NFC, or has there just been too much turnover in the league, generally speaking?
Nope. No, I mean, the AFC has been the dominant conference for the last handful of years.
Is that based mostly on the Chiefs' success?
Yeah.
The Chiefs' success, Bills. Patriots' success before that, in terms of winning Super Bowls. And even then, like, some of the best quarterbacks have always just resided in the AFC, whether it's Brady, Manning, now you have Lamar and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. So that just kind of goes hand in hand, where the NFC has been more of a crapshoot, more up and down.
Does the NFC even have a best coach in it? I mean, who's the best coach in the NFC? I mean, we all thought it was Shanahan, but he's a choke artist.
if we're
San Francisco.
If we're going on resume, Chew.
You got Shanahan, you got McVay.
It's probably Sirianni. McVay's got a Super Bowl, but Sirianni in 4 years has never missed the playoffs and has gone to two Super Bowls.
I know, but they were talking about firing him at the beginning of the year.
I understand. I don't know how to talk about that head coach because everybody hates him, and yet all he's done is have success. It's probably McVay. Is he the only one who has a Super Bowl in the NFC right now?
McCarthy's.
Sorry. Yeah. He's taking the year off, focusing on 2026.
The only one that has one. Yay.
Yeah McVay's the only one who's got one.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that we always talk about so much parity in the league, right? And
how
you can spread wealth around. Players around, even though, again, we have talked numerous times about Howie Roseman and how well he has drafted and how he supplements those draft picks with free agents. And yet you have this core of coaches, this quartet of coaches in Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton all out there dueling in the AFC West. That is interesting, and that is something that I heard the guys talking about this morning, and I was like, huh, I never really thought about it, but yeah, there no one holds a candle to those four guys, what they have accomplished. Again, I don't know what they will accomplish. I don't know how long Pete Carroll is going to be the head coach of that team, but for now he is, and he obviously has a huge resume of success. All right, pivoting back to something we have been talking about, the Packers making a trade or making an off-season acquisition. Here's what I struggle with, guys. I struggle with Brian Gutekunst claiming that there needs to be urgency, and we've talked about that a lot, and that the Super Bowl is the standard for the Green Bay Packers, and seemingly standing pat, or potentially standing pat. So I think that Goody needs to be aggressive this offseason, go out, make a move to show, if nothing else, the locker room, the people involved, that he believes this is a team that can reach the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the Josh Hader thing. Stay with me for a moment. When the Brewers dealt Josh Hader, the reason it was so devastating was because it indicated to the guys in the locker room that the people running the show didn't think they were contenders. So sometimes inaction, or in that case, dealing a key player, can send a message that has ripple effects throughout the players. Gabe, are you concerned at all that if Goody doesn't go out and make a splash acquisition, whether that's via trade or whether that's via free agency, there will be a perception that 2025 is just like 2024 for the players?
I don't think so, because it's still such a young team that knows that they have to grow. I mean, because to me, as nice as it would be to go get Myles Garrett, and again, big fan of going getting Myles Garrett. Ultimately, what this comes down to for the Packers is, does Jordan Love get better? Because if he doesn't get better, it doesn't matter if you have Myles Garrett or not. He has to play better in the bigger moments in order for the Packers to get to where they want to go. That's the reality of the situation. Yes, you can make it easier on him by trying to surround him with as many players as you possibly can, the way the Eagles have with Jalen Hurts, but like, Jalen Hurts is still money on the table. He's been able to make a lot of those plays. It's a big reason why they've gone to the Super Bowl 2 out of the last 3 years. And in the biggest moments, Jordan Love didn't play his best football this year. He played in some big moments last year in 2023. He certainly had some pretty good ones, but also threw 2 interceptions in the final quarter and a half against San Francisco in the divisional round 2 years ago. So he's got to clean up, and he has to be better. And that's all this comes down to me. Like, that's, if he doesn't get any better, it doesn't matter who you go out and sign, because you're probably not going to be a Super Bowl team.
Okay,
anyway.
But Chu, take me inside the locker room as a former player. Let's just say that you are on this team right now. You guys fell short in 2024. To Gabe's point, do a lot of people need to play better? A lot of people need to play better. But what message does it send the locker room if there aren't any of those big-time acquisitions, if Goody doesn't go out and make a splash trade or grab somebody in free agency? What message does it send to the players?
That Goody is sticking to his plan, and I don't think it's a good plan. Basically, I don't think it's a good plan. But I want to ask Gabe, what's your definition of young?
What do you mean?
How many years is young?
What are we getting at
here? One first year, second player, is that young? Is third year player young? Is fourth year player young? I can tell you this, because a fourth year player is not young.
But Chewy,
not young.
Chewy, when I say young, like, they had the youngest roster in the league.
Like, this whole young thing is the biggest bunch of garbage on the face of the earth. Okay? I think it is. And I don't think you, I don't give, what do you get, a ribbon for being the youngest team in the NFL? Because clearly the young guys are not panning out. The receivers took a step back. Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, they've turned out to be just guys. I mean, so great. You're young. Wonderful. You went 11-6. You didn't beat a relevant team, and you got worked in the playoffs. Wonderful. Let's be young again. If he's going to stick to his plan as, we don't need a number one receiver, I like these guys, good luck. Good luck.
So is that the message it would send the players then, Shu? I'm just trying to get in the psyche of the player. Does the player look at that and say, he thinks we're good enough to get it done? Or does the player look at it and go, they're willing to just run it back?
Players know, right? Players know that T-Buck sucked, okay? When he played for us, I don't care what the argument is. When he's getting beat over the top, and his reason for getting beat is because he didn't think Jim McMahon could throw the ball far enough, what the hell are we doing? The hell are we doing? Players talk about other players. And they talk about the money they make. I guarantee the offensive side of the ball, the left tackles and stuff, are going, can you believe they paid this guy? I remember going up against Antoine Edwards. And this is Ron Wolf, who I respected the hell out of the first time. I'm like, this dude's a first-round pick? What the hell are we doing? He was terrible. You know, players talk about other players and their ability to play the game. They talk about Reggie White going, just don't hurt me, you know. You talk about Sean Jones being salad, okay. He was salad because sometimes he would play, sometimes he wouldn't. When he played, he was very good, but, you know, he would play down to his competition. they talk about other players. So they're sitting here going, man, they got Amon St. Brown and these guys. It's just, it's human nature. I mean, they're human. That happens. What? You know?
Did you guys think in 95 that after Sterling retired that you guys were screwed because you didn't add a wide receiver?
No, because we loved Robert Brooks.
Yeah, and maybe they love somebody in the locker room. Like, Robert hadn't proved anything.
I just...
And I'm not saying anybody's going to be Robert Chu. I'm just saying, like, in terms of the locker room, they may love, you know, Jaden Reed. They might love, you know, because Robert, before he had his breakout year in 95, like,
yeah.
Robert was a good punt returner. But that's about anybody, that's about any fan, you know, would kind of say about him. Because he had, it's not like he was having a ton of success in the offense until 95 rolled around when he got his opportunity.
I agree. But you watch him in practice. I mean, when Jair said they're going to have to triple cover Romeo Doubs this year. I mean, what did you think? Did you put any credence into that?
No, I did not.
And it shows, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't put credence into that because of where it came from, right? Like I don't know, if Xavier McKinney would have said it, probably carries a little more weight. Although I got to question him because he's telling me that Quay Walker is one of the best linebackers in the league.
Maybe he will be, Gabe.
You know, if we cross all our fingers and toes, Jen.
Eyes, don't forget the eyes.
I mean, what do you think? Another thing, and this is, I mean, position groups travel in packs, right? And you spend time in a meeting room before the coach gets in there, and you BS around, and you do this stuff. What do you think the offensive line was saying at the end of there? You don't think one of those offensive linemen went, remember training camp, guys? Remember training camp when they were gushing over the D-line? You
because
remember
the
D-line
was beating that O-line like a
yeah.
drum? Or
yeah. But
drum?
I'm saying throughout the year, they're like, what a joke. Are you kidding me?
So, again, I'm just trying to get into the mindset of the athlete. I'm trying to get into the mindset of the player. When they are where they are and the expectations are what they are, what does the player think about the offseason? Do these players want Goody to go out and get someone, or do these players think they are good enough to get the job done as currently constructed?
I don't know. I just go back, Jen, to when we signed Reggie White, and I was like, here we go. This is awesome. This is great. People are starting to notice us now because we were trending towards being pretty good. We were a playoff team. We knew we weren't there yet. But then and it was a shock to us because there were like 17 teams courting Reggie, and we're like, there is no chance in the world. That. And then he comes here, and we're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, then you feel it, and then you add another piece, and then you know, it's like they need, and not to say that McKinney and would be a huge splash, you know. But players talk about players, man. Offense talks about defense. Receivers talk about cornerbacks, you know. They just do.
How did you feel when Keith came in, though? You know, because I think it depends upon the position.
I was a little butthurt.
Yeah,
I was
right?
A little butthurt.
It depends upon position group you're at, right? Like, if you're a wide receiver and they bring in Davante Adams, you're probably not too happy. Maybe Jordan Love's a little happier.
You want to hear one story in Detroit? Oh, and boy. I was pissed, and guys were coming up to me when they brought Keith. And I love Keith, don't get me wrong. But Keith was a little selfish, which benefited my career because he did not report until the last game he could report to and still get paid for the rest of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember this like it was yesterday. So I'm having my best year starting, and they come in and they draw up. This is awesome. I mean, it's kind of a Richard move by me, but they draw up a touchdown play for Keith, right? Now, hasn't practiced for eight games,
yep.
Right? Comes in. They drop a special play for him. We're on the 6-yard line. They put in Keith. They dial it up. He's in the end zone, and he drops a bunny. And I was like, good. I'm glad that happened. You know? That's human nature, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't like, oh, darn it all. The first thing I'm like, I would have caught it.
Not had my guy.
Having not been in an NFL locker room, I will speak to our situation here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and just see if there's a parallel that I can draw, okay? I think we have a pretty good little show going on here. I think that we were good when Ashton was here. I think we're good with Joshy here. And yet there were still limitations. There were still things that we as a show were not getting done. There were things that we as a show could do better. Maybe our reach and who was hearing our show and who knew about our show. So the bosses come in and they're like, hey, we're going to add somebody to the mix. Not going to be a front-facing person, but we're going to add somebody to the mix. It's going to help your show grow. And there she is back there, Maddie, sitting back there with Joshy. And every day Maddie sits back there and she clips stuff off from our show and she pushes it on social, and all of a sudden you got people who had never heard of our show who know about our show. Not the loyal listeners, because y'all have been with us since day one, and we appreciate you. We appreciate the hell out of you. But the point is, when the management invested more in our show, invested another resource in our show, It gave me the confidence of like, oh, they think what we're doing is pretty good. They think what we're doing could be better, and here's how it could be better, and they gave us that resource to be better. And so again, when you talk about human nature, there's part of me from a human nature standpoint that saw that addition to our group and went, they believe in us. They think we're good. They think we can be better. And they are willing to give us the piece to be better. And that's what I'm wondering if the players in the locker room for the Green Bay Packers are looking at in this offseason.
Yes. Yes. Yes, totally, because we kept adding pieces, and Keith was a huge piece, and Eugene Robinson was a huge piece, you know? I mean, we just signed Mike Pryor the year before. Mike Pryor, smart player, right? One of the smartest players I ever, but had limitations. So Mike Pryor had to eat his ego a little bit and make way for Eugene because Eugene was better, right? What are you guys laughing?
You're getting
at?
Dangerously close over there to Weed Whacker. Who the hell is Mike Pryor?
Had an interception in the Super Bowl, so show some respect. I mean, granted, it was like a punt that he, you know, Drew Bledsoe just Millennial. Floated out there for him, but he still caught it.
Joshy clearly failed history in school.
Yeah, he did. Super Bowl champ had an interception
Mike
in the game.
Mike Pryor commitments?
Come on, Joshy.
Mike Pryor.
It's a great nickname, though, by the way. Mike Pryor commitments. Get your head in the game. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to today. And we have Superb Owl Squares coming up at 8:45. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. App. It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sports bettors out there, Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game. In a major move for all sports bettors, now you can use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and, of course, at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn rewards play along the way. Now that is a winning play. We'll be out there this evening for weekly wager from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. You can bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. paysbig.com/sportsbook. Since we're talking about sports betting, did you guys hear about the Major League Baseball umpire who was fired? Not for betting specifically, but betting adjacent. Gabe, what's the details? How did this shake out? Why did this guy get fired?
So Pat Hoberg is the guy's name. He was sharing a legal sports betting account with a friend who had bet on baseball, and so he was fired for that and for intentionally deleting messages key to the investigation of his conduct. He adamantly denied betting on baseball directly or indirectly. And Manfred said there was no evidence that Hoberg bet directly on games and manipulated outcomes in any way. But again, like, you've just got to fire this guy for making bad
decisions.
Yeah,
that's like insider trading, right?
Yeah, just the even if it looks like it's inappropriate, like, you have to be so clear, like, hey, sorry, man. You shouldn't have had this account. Why are you sharing? You're a grown-ass man. Why are you sharing a betting account with another guy who is betting on baseball?
If we remember Tim Donaghy in that famous scandal, there was suspicious phone calls that occurred pretty much every single day between some of the other referees. So if you were to try and build up your case of maybe it wasn't his games, but people around him, those text messages relevant would seem like something you would want to pay attention
to. This is the dumbest thing to share. Look, I get the old Netflix thing, right? Like, my mother-in-law doesn't want to pay for Netflix.
Sure.
She lives a mile from us. Do we give her our Netflix password for watching the kids?
Don't tell Netflix.
It's fair. We think it's a fair trade. You watch our children for us. We share our Netflix password with you, okay? I understand.
Off it. Cheap there.
That I understand sharing. You don't know the quality of care, Gabe. That feels fine. Why would you be sharing a betting account?
Yeah, but what's the line? But what's the line? What if he was betting on football games? Is that fine? MLB
like if
umpire.
if he's got a betting account and again, all these things on an app can be tracked too. Yeah, if he wants to bet on a football game, basketball game, wherever. But the second that his account makes a baseball bet, see ya. You're done. When I did games for the Packers, when I was on the pregame show, and I had a contract with them, like it says specifically in there that you can't bet on NFL games. And I made sure to distance myself anything that could even be conceived to be betting on the 0.001% chance that somebody turned me in and the Packers cared enough to fire me. Like, that job was too important to me because it was cool to be on the Packers radio network. Like, this is your main source of income. How is this? Like, you worked years to become a Major League Baseball umpire. How are you putting yourself in a position where you're sharing an account with somebody and they're betting on baseball? That's money coming from an account you're associated with doing the one thing you can't be doing.
So what if my best friend was a coach at Boston College?
Okay.
And I'm a better, and he doesn't know that, and I call him up and I say, hey, how are you guys going to do against Miami this week? And he says, well, the quarterback's out, the running back's dinged up, we're without our best receiver. You know, just pilfering them for information. Is that coach in trouble?
He could be.
Could be.
No, I'm not saying, I know the perception of it bad, but from a legal standpoint, is that crossing the line?
If they were able to prove that he was giving you information that wasn't publicly available, he would be able to be held accountable. But didn't?
What if he didn't know, Josh?
Didn't know
what if he didn't know that I was a degenerate gambler?
That he's not your best friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you that right now. No, why is he sharing information with you?
Why would you care about the wide receiver if you weren't trying to...
Well, I mean, just genuinely curious about your pal's life and the game coming up. I could see that. I mean, the tricky thing is that there's so much information out there, guys. You know, there's so much information at every level. You know, if a player is sick and doesn't practice one day, and maybe the team doesn't want that to get out before a big game so that the other team doesn't know, like, there are people that know that. There are people who might say that information to their closest friends. Hey, how was practice today? Oh, it was good, but so-and-so was out. He's got the flu. Like, you know, oh, interesting. And then that person says, hey, did you know so-and-so has the flu? We got that big game coming up on Saturday. Oh, is he going to be okay? I don't know. They're worried. They're worried he might not be able to play. Like, at what point, how many degrees of separation do you have to be till you're safe?
That's all well and fine. That's like word of mouth stuff. This is having an app on your phone that somebody else had access to.
About Chewy's example about his buddy at Boston College.
There is a gray area there, and this is very infamous in some of these smaller programs. Some not even necessarily Division I. Some of those Division II or smaller programs where you can get betting odds, information gets shared all the time because, one, they're not being covered as much, so there is an advantage of knowing somebody on the team or somebody working with the team. And then it's really only one degree of separation a lot, and people will leak information to others. But, like, those small Division II stuff, that's where stuff gets real sketchy, but they do... limit the amount you can bet on them because of that potential of information being shared.
I don't know if this matters or not, but one interesting detail of this umpire situation specifically was that he is widely regarded as the best ball and strike umpire in Major League Baseball. So, just extrapolating out, it's not as though this guy was egregiously blowing calls. It's not as though he was telling his buddy, and again, I'm not saying that he wasn't telling his buddy, I'm just saying that, like, it would be more suspicious if he was, like, questionable on some stuff, where you'd be like, whoa, that was a critical strike call, that was, you know what I mean? Like, there was a critical call, balls and strikes, that could have gone the other way, but you chose it this way. And then learning that that guy had made a bet on that game that was impacted by his balls and strikes calls. By all accounts, Hoberg was one of the best ball and strike umpires when you do the accuracy things in baseball. So that was weird to me. That was a weird, like, detail that didn't seem to go along with him being complicit in this.
Well, but you gotta, it doesn't matter if you're complicit or not, to me. You nip these things in the bud. You nip it right in the bud because you can't have any sort of suspicion of impropriety. And the second somebody even, you don't even have
but
to cross
who,
the line.
Gabe? But says who?
Major League Baseball. That? Major League Baseball.
Well, I mean, the umpires have a union. They're going to fight this. There's
well, they did. They're
chewy.
They already did. So he was fired in May. They finally got done with that process, and he was fired earlier this week. So, like, they found out about this in May, took him off games, and the appeals process finally resulted in him being fired.
If you just apply the simplest of, like, logic to it, why are you and another grown man sharing an account?
Who, by the way, is a professional poker player? Like, I feel that's an important deal. That's an important detail. Like, it's not just like your buddy who happens to be an accountant at, you know, at some firm or a lawyer. Right. No, this is a guy who deals in this setting professionally.
Gambles for a living.
There's no need for that to be shared. The only reason you would share it is if you somehow had information either through yourself or someone else that would benefit somebody making bets. Because let's be honest here, he might be accurate, and the thing that's being shown about him is he had a perfect, like, World Series game. In the World Series. But you can change things by check swings. You can also call things, and maybe it's the correct call, but it was borderline, but it benefits the bets to make it a strike call. Like, you can still do that. You don't have to be egregiously off for you to influence a game.
Okay, but of the 141 baseball bets that were placed from his friend's account, which, by the way, they shared the username and password on, okay?
It's not his friend's account. It's his account. If you're sharing an account, it's his account.
Okay, so just so you know, the friend signed up for it. I'm just reading from the legal document here. The friend signed up for the account, but he shared the password and username with Hoberg, and they were both making bets on that account. The other detail was, this is what I was trying to get to here, of the 144 baseball bets placed from the friend's account, eight bets involving five games that he umpired, so that's the number. Sorry, I'm having a tough time reading this, but there were 141 baseball bets placed. Eight bets involved five games that Hoberg umpired or had responsibility for replay reviews. So eight bets, five games of the 141. I'm not saying the guy shouldn't be fired. I don't think this guy was manipulating the outcome of games based on the information that we have.
I don't think he was either. Like, he's just being fired for being a dumbass.
Yeah, he is a... moron.
Like, this is your livelihood we're talking. A pretty good one, too. Like, if you're a Major League Baseball umpire, you're getting assignments like the World Series, you're making a pretty good living. Why on earth would you mess with that? Why? Why would you even want to come anywhere near the line? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. You want to make bets? Create your own account. Like, you can't, like, if you're dumb enough to make this decision, like, you can't be trusted to be a Major League Baseball umpire.
The eight bets on games that Hoberg worked similarly did not reveal any obvious patterns of impropriety. Again, you're right. It was stupid. Shouldn't have been on a gambling account that your buddy's on, that he's making bets on, baseball on. Get your own account and just don't bet on baseball. He would have been in the clear, right?
Yeah.
If he's got the account in Iowa where he was from, yeah, I believe.
He wants to bet, you know, heads or tails on the Super Bowl. Go for it, man.
Also, these gambling sites share directly who the sign-up is and who's involved in the account with the leagues. So they know very clearly who's involved in betting on these things. So to even think about it, sharing it and having baseball bets happen is so stupid.
You know how much this happens, though? I guarantee you. How many NFL players are there? You know, in the, like, 3,000? You're going to tell me that a brother out there isn't gambling like crazy after he talks to his brother? Because, you know, when we went into games, let's say we were playing Detroit back in the day at home, we're like, this is going to be a bloodbath. They're not a good team. I'm guaranteed this happens all the time.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, and you just risk your livelihood if you choose to do it.
Yeah, but how are you going to get caught?
you bet on
if
an
your
app.
Your brother's on the gambling site, and you talk to your brother.
Well, if it's your brother, like
three
if it's
times
your,
a week.
But if it's your brother doing it, my guess is, I mean, it's a low likelihood that anything ever comes back to you. And if you're just talking with your brother, you're talking with your brother, right? Like,
yeah, but what if your brother's like, oh, I got $1,000 on this game. I'm going to pick his brain. You know, how's so and so feel this week? Is he good? Oh, he's got a bad ankle.
I mean, how weird would that be? How weird would that have been, Chew? Like, if your brother called you up, 1994, middle of October. Hey, how's Brett's ankle?
I'd have been like, get bent. I didn't know what he was doing.
Can't pull one over on you. Can't pull a fast one on you. You're a deep thinker. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's just fascinating because, again, I don't think that the guy did anything implicitly wrong. I don't think he was betting on baseball. I don't think he was impacting the outcomes of games egregiously. But just by sharing the username and password with a guy who was, got himself in hot water. Got himself fired. And it's just, again, it's one of those things that we need to pay attention to and just be aware of. Not that any of our loyal listeners out there are professional umpires, but just there's a lot of gray area in this gambling space right now. And not even that this was gray, because the Major League Baseball is pretty implicit about what you can and cannot do. But it just feels like we all work in sports. Gabe, you got connections at places. You got connections at Marquette. If you hear something from Marquette and you pass it on to somebody and they make a bet on it, are you in trouble? Like, it's just, it's very, we just... Just, it's interesting, and it keeps evolving the more people that are betting on these apps every day on everything. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. It is your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it really means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. A lot of movement in the NBA. LeBron James talking about the Luka Doncic acquisition. A lot of pieces falling into place ahead of the trade deadline. And yes, the Bucks are still being mentioned as a potential player. Gabe, what is your understanding of the latest of where the Bucks are in the trade conversations?
Do I have to?
You don't want to?
I feel if I say this out loud, like, it makes it more real.
Oh, like Bloody Mary type of thing? Candyman?
Like, I mean...
So just say his name once.
I don't like the rumor that's out there, and I don't want to talk about it.
Why?
Because Kyle Kuzma stinks, Chewy, that's why. He's bad. He's bad at basketball. And if you're going to trade away Chris Middleton, at least get somebody back who's, you know, can help improve the team. Not somebody who's shooting 42% and lower than 30% from downtown.
So why are the Bucks attached to him? Why are these rumors? Why are these reports out there?
I have no idea. Probably the same reason why they were attached to Bradley Beal rumors. Another guy I wanted nowhere near this team. Thankfully, those got shot down.
It's kind of opposite Gabe. I think they should do the deal.
I want nothing to do with Kyle Kuzma. He's like having his worst year of his career. And it's not even close. Like, last year he was a much better player. Much better player. And this year, it's bad. Maybe part of that's because he plays for an unserious franchise in Washington, but I don't want to take that risk. Like, I want somebody that I know can make my team better. I don't think that makes the Bucks better.
Okay,
is it your love of Chris Middleton?
Well, if you're going to trade away Chris, Chu, I want somebody who's actually going to improve the team. Because Chris, when he plays with Giannis, like, they still have an unbelievable chemistry, right? So that you're taking that away. And if you're replacing it with a guy who can't hit a three, like, you can probably beat him in a three-point shooting contest with your bum elbow right now. Like, no, that I don't have any interest in that.
Do they know something we don't? Like, as in Chris Middleton's body is starting to fall apart.
And it's kind of the same old story with Chris. I mean, he played really well. you know, easing his way back in with his ankles.
Okay. We talk about this a lot, and I know I mentioned it in passing when we were discussing the Packers and acquiring somebody in the offseason. There's that old Bill Polian quote that he told Dario when Dario was at ESPN. Dario, my husband, of course. And the quote was, don't bite a lemon just because you're thirsty for lemonade. So I feel like you are chalking this up to that. Just because the Bucks want to be involved in trades, just because they want to improve the team, mm-hmm. they want to be considered a contender in the East and seen as one and obviously respond as one, don't go out and just grab someone to grab someone is sort of the position that you are taking. I want to be clear, Chu, this is not just fan blogs out there like we sometimes yeah. see with these things. This is actually The Athletic reporting that league sources have said they are exploring a potential deal. I don't know enough about Kuzma to be able to tell you whether or not he can help the Bucks. I trust Gabe's judgment on that. What I do know is the Bucks aren't getting it done now as currently constructed. They've been good. They've been very good at times, but they are not good enough to compete with the teams that are better. And so to me, that is, you either have to make a decision, Gabe, if you are standing pat with what you have, or you are going to go out there and try to contend for a title. What does your gut tell you about where the Bucks are?
I actually think they can compete. I mean, this is just an older team going through a really tough patch of their schedule right now. You hit the playoffs where the games are spread out a little bit more. And again, Craig mentioned this when we talked to him on Friday. As long as this team is healthy, they can compete with anybody. I firmly believe that. They've shown that. When they blew the doors off of Oklahoma City, who's the best team in the league, in the NBA Cup final. Like, they can compete with anybody. It's just, are you healthy? They've been beat up recently. Bobby was gone for personal reasons. Hopefully he comes back tonight. I think he's probable for their game at Charlotte. So, yeah, I mean, Zach LaVine was somebody they were linked to. Would have been all in on Zach LaVine because he certainly makes the team better, makes you a little bit younger, but he can actually, you know, do some of the things you want to do. Like, Kyle Kuzma just... That would, I can't imagine that. You're taking away team chemistry that you have and replacing it with a huge question mark and somebody who has not been good at all this year.
How does Giannis feel about his good friend getting traded to one of the worst possible landing spots? Like, you're going to upset, obviously, a legend, a guy whose numbers will be in the rafters eventually at Fiserv, and you're sending him to Washington. So how do they both feel about that?
Which is why I think that ultimately the Bucks don't do anything. Like, sure, maybe they've talked about Kyle Kuzma, but ultimately they just kind of go, you know what's really good to surround Giannis with? Shooters, and that guy is not a very good shooter. Like, they already have somebody like that in Andre Jackson who can't really shoot. So I think it's a situation where they will stand pat and at least see how this plays out. Try to see if they can get Giannis, Chris, and Dame all healthy for the playoffs. See what that looks like, because we haven't seen that in a playoff series because of all the different injuries.
Doesn't the fact that they're doing this tell you anything, Gabe? That they don't believe?
I mean,
if they were going to say, hey, we're trading you, or we're going to shop you, I'd be like, I'm out of here, man. You don't think I'm good enough to do this? Don't you think there's a little bit of that?
Yeah, maybe, but I mean... Kuzma ain't the answer, man. Like, we've seen teams make bad trades all the time, Chu. Like, we just saw the Mavericks trade away Luka Doncic. Like, teams make head-scratching moves all the time because they think that's what's going to be best for them.
The other player whose name is mentioned, not in this trade specifically, but Pat Connaughton's name has been brought up frequently, often, I guess, depending on how many you believe are legit and how many are just like fan fiction. Would you be pro dealing Pat Connaughton to bring back the right piece?
Well, if they deal Pat, it's not even going to be dealing for a piece. Like, Pat's been in and out of the rotation. They'd be dealing him to get below, again, get the weed whacker ready, the second apron.
He knew as soon as he said the second apron.
But that's what it is.
It is. And but to be perfectly honest with you, the Middleton Kuzma thing would be that as well.
If they deal, but like, if you're dealing Middleton, which is really your only tradable piece right now, you have to get something good in return. Like, you have to get something. You have to get something that's going to help you in return. Because Chris is actually playing meaningful minutes where Pat, again, Pat's been in and out of the rotation depending upon who's healthy.
Then why would they do it, Gabe?
I have no idea, Chu. No idea. Same reason why I have no idea why the Mavericks decided to trade Luka Doncic. But again, I think ultimately that's why they don't do anything, Chu. That they're kind of kicking the tires around, and it's just, hey, we've talked about Kuzma. Okay, we want to trade Middleton. Who's out there? Kuzma. We talk about it. Yeah, that's probably just not going to work for us.
Would them kicking the tires indicate to you a potential of like some sort of panic?
Well, they've
been desperation. I was going to say
they've been in the trade market. I mean, when they started 2-8, Windy had the report that they had talked to basically every team in the league. Like they've been having different conversations to try to improve on the margins. It's really what John Horst has done his entire time as the Bucks general manager. Like he's usually pretty active around the trade deadline to improve on the margins. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it's not.
Brian Windhorst on GetUp right now, and it just said Bucks actively trying to get younger, and they are talking about the Kyle Kuzma for Chris Middleton suggestion. Again, it does feel like getting under the second apron, don't weed whack it, but it is a reality of the NBA, is a priority for the Milwaukee Bucks, and if they can make some moves that do that while also getting younger, I think they might consider that a win. We got to take a break because we have Superb Owl Squares coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Want to give you all enough time to get those correct answers in. So get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776 to play Superb Owl Squares with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
First up on Superb Owl Squares this hour is Joe in Keewascom. Good morning, Joe. Are you ready to play?
Morning. Let's give it a whirl.
All right, Joe, you get a question right. You get 10 squares on the Superb Owl Squares board and a chance to win that grand prize that we have been putting together. Who is the oldest player to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Oh, boy. That's going to be a tough one. I don't even have a guess.
Jerry Rice. Sorry.
Jerry Rice was 40 in Super Bowl 37.
All right, 1-0, buddy. Let's go to Bill in Lake Geneva. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
Who is the only player to be named Super Bowl MVP in a loss?
Chuck Howley.
Wow. Is a correct answer.
Oh. Very good.
Super
Bill
Bowl 5.
Holy cats. Who did he play for?
I wasn't sure.
Colts beat the Cowboys, so the Cowboys. Howley was a member of the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow. Good. Wow.
Very good. These questions all courtesy of Hembo, Paul Hembakidis, who Gabe works with occasionally on ESPN Radio, who you see on Get Up, and who every year is so good to us, giving us this list and dozens of superb owl questions.
I feel like last year we could have asked what hand did Brett Favre throw with, and people were getting that incorrect. So the fact that like we're getting Chuck Howley this year, the fans have stepped up the game.
Yeah, big time.
They've stepped up the Super Bowl trivia game this year.
What are you guys doing for the game? Has that been determined yet or no?
I'm glad you asked, Chew. I will be at Pottawatomie Sportsbook with Joshy and Ben Brust for the weekly wager from noon to 3 at the Annex. You can come out and visit us. Nice work,
surprise.
Buddy. Thank you. Let me get that pop in there. Gabe?
Probably nothing. Just hang out at home.
Gabe doesn't want to share. Gabe could be a spy.
I'm just going to be hanging out at home, man. I'm not
He's
going anywhere.
On the radio every day, not just with us, with ESPN Radio. When is he doing the spy work?
Yeah, Sunday's like my first day off in 2 or 3 weeks. So, just sitting at home. My dog's cast is hopefully coming off tomorrow, so maybe take him for a long walk.
Shut up, Bubs.
Yeah.
What happened to the dog?
Yeah, what did he have a cast on? I'm shocked that he went through the entire time having the cast without us knowing, Chew. That's a shocking development.
We have talked about it on the show before, but, you know, again,
I think
that's...
I was here.
Yeah, I know you were.
Did I ask about the dog?
He did not. Broke his leg 11 weeks ago.
How?
The fact that you don't know either, Chew, makes me very suspect.
I have had this conversation with Chew. My wife was playing with him, threw a ball for him, jumped up, kind of lost his balance, and fell awkwardly back on the leg.
So the dog has the same athletic ability as you?
I've had your back this entire show, Chew. And for you to just stab me in the back like that, that hurts.
I mean, Josh, the Horicon thing last week.
At least that understood.
Athleticism.
Like that, I will say I was kind of poking the bear last week a little bit, agitating him a little bit, you know, a couple pokes in the ribs. So, you know, that one I expected. This one I did not expect.
It's a good pop, though, right, Josh?
I like that.
What you doing, Joshy?
Now, now you got Josh ganging up on me, too?
Don't you have a contest?
I want an apology and for Chewy to be fired.
Thank you.
Chewy wants nothing more than to be fired. I thought he made that pretty clear every day he's on the radio.
The Deer District Prep Showcase going to be at Fiserv Forum this Saturday. 10 high school boys basketball teams hit the court for an exciting day of action featuring games with teams like Kettle Moraine, along with Nicolet, Milwaukee Juno, Kohler, Lake Mills, Sun Prairie East, and Racine Park. General admission tickets just $15. They're valid for all five games, but you can see the full schedule. Get your tickets today at FiserVForum.com. And caller number four right now wins four tickets. Caller four wins four tickets to Saturday's games at Fiserv. 800-990-3776.
Have a great day, everybody. Will D and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.